Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
I'm doing good today. The rain stopped.
Well, you know, is that the bad news or the good news?
Yeah, right. That could be either one.
We sure needed that rain. Well, look, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. Our topic for today is coaching to increase creativity and innovation. And I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a master certified coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999. Ooh, I almost hate to admit that. And I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Southern California, all under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to my website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach me at 714-726-8354. Well, let's get to our show for today. Creativity and innovation. You know, many times in business coaching, especially I find myself guilty of this, we work with the client to keep them focused on solving problems. But how often do we work with them to become more creative and innovative in their business? As we approach year end and start looking at strategic planning for the next year, are we spending enough time being creative and innovative, or are we just fine-tuning the same old methods? You know, sometimes I love this time of year when we start doing budgets and strategic plans and business plans, whatever you want to call them, for the next year. And it gets exciting. In some companies, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of looking at what worked and what didn't work, a time of looking at what's possible. Other companies, it's a time of same old, you know, and it's a trick to get your clients to shift from one to the other. Well, what got me started down this line of thinking was an article in the Wall Street Journal by Christopher Mims. It was about a new movie, The Imitation Game. The movie's about a mathematician, Alan Turing, who's credited with ending World War II 2 years early by cracking the German Enigma code. Wow, that's quite a contribution, but it turns out that perhaps his greatest contribution is his mathematical abstraction that enabled all subsequent devices we call computers. Wow. In 1936, Turing wrote a paper that answered a central question in mathematics and logic. The question was, are there things that cannot be computed? Turing realized that the way to answer this question was to replace the human with a universal mechanical computer. However, he didn't need to build such a computer. It was enough for him to describe it or build it mathematically, which he did. It turns out the answer is not only that there are things in this world that cannot be computed, but there are infinitely many such statements. Now, is that a surprise to you? You know, if you think about it, it isn't. But the way we go through life, it's sort of like we sort of assume that everything can be handled step one, step two, step three, step four, sort of sequentially in a logical order, and that there is a right answer. That would be solving things with a computer. But as Turing says, not everything in this world can be handled by a computer. We know, interestingly enough, the same week, this week, Cal Newport on his blog Study Hacks, a great blog I'd advise you to link into, he also commented on the movie and Alan Turing. Cal points out that as a result of Turing's work, that theoreticians defined those problems that cannot be solved using a fixed series of steps as undecidable problems, and those that can be solved using a fixed series of steps as decidable. Now, you know, look at those two terms, or listen to those two terms for a minute here. If you can solve it sequentially using a fixed series of steps, it's a decidable problem. But if it can't be solved using a fixed series of steps, then it's an undecidable problem. That sort of says that intuition, guesses, inspiration, those kinds of things have no place and don't solve problems, that those problems are left as undecidable. Okay, now I'm getting to the point of this story. Both Mims and Newport make the point that to the extent that you're working on decidable problems, that you're replaceable with a machine, or at the very least, that you have less value in our knowledge-based society. That is a scary thought. You know, Mims talks about, and in fact, his article in the journal is kind of based upon the idea that if your job description, if what you do is primarily working on these decidable problems, those that can be solved with a fixed series of steps, then a machine can be taught to do what you're doing. Cal Newport takes the same information, and he says if you're working on those kinds of problems, you don't have a great value in our society today because you are a replaceable cog in our knowledge-based society. Wow, neither one of those are things that give me warm, fuzzy feelings. Well, Newport goes on to say the bad news is that undecidable tasks are often really hard to complete. And because there's no easy way to divide them into concrete actions, you have to instead throw brain power, experience, creative intuition, and persistence at them, and then hope that a solution emerges from some indescribable cognitive alchemy. You know, Newport's theme in his blog Study Hacks, in the time that I've been following it, in my mind, his theme is all around deep thinking. And the point that I get from reading his blog is that he really is cautioning us that our multitasking environment, our multitasking generational tendencies here, do not let us truly solve the difficult problems. That what is needed is deep thinking. Deep thinking means concentrated periods of time where you are focused on one issue. Now, you know, I kind of jump to the conclusion that, okay, if I've got concentrated periods of time, I've cleared my desk, I'm working on just one issue, then that is sort of working hard on the problem to find the steps that will solve it. But as we're going to see here today, that's not what he's talking about at all. You know? Well, you know, we've now arrived at this time of year at the annual planning conundrum. How do we systematically plan for something that is an undecidable problem, i.e. forecasting the future? You know, what everyone is looking for at this time of year in their planning, budgeting processes, what they're looking for is to develop more innovative thinking processes and mindsets and behaviors and skills and practices. Janet Cernak, who is an ACC coach, describes innovative coaching as an innovative coach provides managers and leaders with a new set of adaptive, collaborative, and generative skills that enable them to transform their business problems, challenges, and dilemmas into innovative solutions. She goes on to say that imagine if you can make innovation everyone's job every day to build highly engaged, courageous, experimental, emergent, and passionate organizational cultures and business ecosystems. Wow, that would be kind of inspiring. You know, it sort of wraps up all so many other HR business issues that we talk about. We talk about culture. We talk about motivation. We talk about onboarding people. We talk about mentoring. All of those things sort of get to this point that you have to make the organization more human. So So how do you do this? You know, innovation comes from people that are confident, flexible, and energized in delivering new and different ideas. How innovative have you ever been when you've been exhausted? How innovative are you in an environment where you don't have any confidence that you belong there or that you can solve things? Innovation comes if the leaders model the right behaviors to encourage risk-taking, experimentation, and learning by doing. It has to be fun and human. It has to create a buzz of possibility. You must first create this kind of environment before you can begin to start the. So many times I've walked into companies and watched them in their meetings, and it's all work. It's all serious. It's all under pressure to get it done by the clock. Now, I'm not saying that business isn't serious, but I'm saying that when we take ourselves too serious, we don't leave room for creativity. You know, how many, you know, I've seen a number of companies that have brought in teams of people to do improv. And you know, it's always amazing. Every time I've seen them do improv, it's always the same. Two or three people come in to do the improv skit. They do a little skit, and everybody's kind of entertained with it, and they start to loosen up and relax a little bit. And then the person doing the improv says, I want to call on a few people. I want you to come up here and help me. And automatically, everybody shrinks into their seat. You know, there may be one exception. It's the actor in the group, the frustrated person that wanted to get involved in those things. But generally, everybody shrinks in their seat and doesn't want to have anything to do with getting up in front of people and acting silly. We kind of understand this, and we kind of say, well, you know, this so-and-so doesn't like to be on the stage, or so-and-so doesn't like a lot of attention. But you know what? If we're afraid to expose ourselves, to look ridiculous, to look silly, to make mistakes, to say the wrong thing, if we're afraid to do that in a game situation, like an improv example, what makes you think that that goes away when we start talking about business? That same restrictive thinking, that same behavior follows right into the rest of the meeting, and nobody offers any really new breakthrough ideas. So how do you do this? The process of generating creative ideas within this kind of a exciting environment, with a buzz, with one that people are willing to make mistakes in, it starts with asking questions, withholding judgment, and supporting those who speak out with ideas. Guess what? Those are all ordinary coaching skills that those coaches of you who are listening to this, you know these skills. You ask questions. You withhold judgment. You give your clients support. But are you doing that in an environment about creative thinking? Are you doing that where, in fact, you can get people to get out of the box, to think differently, where they can focus on possibilities, not on solutions? It is all about identifying what the client is passionate about and what motivates them. It is about new perspectives, new ideas, adaptations of existing ideas to new solutions. It's about big issues, the important, not the urgent issues. It's an environment where ideas are looked at in terms of what else is possible, not why it won't work. It's about taking risks. Do we create this kind of environment in our coaching sessions? I would say most of us, most of you, probably do a pretty good job at that. But are you coaching the client so that they can leave the coaching session and perform that way in their business environment? And for those of us who coach leaders, are we coaching them so that they can lead in a way to create that kind of environment so that their staff gives them those kind of creative ideas? You know, it's kind of funny how when you start thinking about something, it's sort of like the yellow car syndrome. You know, probably everybody's heard that story. You decide, hey, I think I'm going to buy a yellow car. And then you walk out of the showroom and all you see is yellow cars on the street because you're now aware of them. Well, that's sort of the way it's been for me this last week, thinking about talking about creativity and innovation. You know, it was in the Wall Street Journal article, and then it was in the blog that Cal Newport wrote in Study Hacks. And then today I read Barry Demp, who's the quotable coach. I read the quote that he posted for today, which was, criticize by creating. You know, in this quote, he says, Michelangelo coaches us to mobilize our creativity to improve a situation rather than sitting in judgment of the situation. Let me go back to that, because that's kind of the heart of what needs to take place in all of our meetings, in all of our interaction with other people, not just the annual strategic planning meeting. Mobilize our creativity to improve a situation rather than sitting in judgment of the situation. Demp goes on to say, this simple idea is critical in the business world in that our leaders and managers are looking for optimistic, can-do people to forward their organizations, not negative people who rain on other people's parades. You know, there is a process, the sort of a mini creative thinking process, the 20 idea method that I learned many years ago. And the idea was that you have a group and you talk about, I want to collect ideas. The ideas may be about anything. And you say, but let me lay the ground rules first for the group. The ground rule is that you can't respond to anybody's idea. You can't comment on the fact that it's a great idea, it's a mediocre idea, or it's a bad idea. You can't talk about why it won't work. All we want to do is we are going to list on the board 20 ideas. So let's get started on this topic. And then you go through and you get the group to start giving you ideas. And right away, you typically get four or five ideas that you can write up on the flip chart. And then it starts to slow down a little bit. And you encourage people. And, you know, pretty soon you get up to 10, 12 ideas. Maybe you get to 15 ideas. You know, it's taken a long time to get to those, you know, 10 through 15 ideas. And the room kind of goes dry, and they're all looking at you like, well, okay, we can't get to 20. Let's end this. The idea is, no, you don't end it. You stay there creating a encouraging environment, not evaluating what's been talked about, but getting people to think, what else could we do? What could we do different? What could we do new? What other ideas? What wild idea that you think doesn't have a chance could you possibly suggest? And eventually, you get to 20 ideas. Now, the point of this exercise is that invariably, the last four or five ideas that were the hardest to drag out of the group are the most creative, because they are the ideas that are not ordinary. They are the ideas that have been fed by the open creativity that generated the first 15 ideas. They're the ideas that are expressed out loud because people now feel safe because no one's ridiculed the first 15 ideas. So I am feeling safe enough to give you my crazy wild idea. This is what we need to do. This is what Michelangelo was talking about when he said criticize by creating. This is what Demp was talking about in his quote today. This is what Cal Newport, this is what Mims was talking about. They're all talking about the same thing. They're talking about the need to in today's knowledge-based society to get creative, to get innovative. There's a lot of companies that do this for other companies. They take you away for a day. They come in and do an improv exercise. You know, I'm not putting any of those things down. They're better than not doing them. But what we're looking for is an environment, a cultural shift, where every day is open enough that people feel free to express these kinds of ideas. So as a coach, how do you do this? You sometimes need to jolt the client out of their routine thinking. You know, and how do you do that? You do it with off-the-wall kinds of questions, or a request to look at things differently, or you challenge their assumptions and get them to get comfortable with being or talking about ambiguous ideas. You know, so many of us are taught to not, have been taught, to not express an idea that you haven't fully thought out. Well, you know, we've all been through the experience where we had what we thought was a great idea and we went to share it with someone and they immediately gave us 10 reasons why that idea wouldn't work. And we thought, well, that's the last time I'm ever going to go off sort of half-cocked, not having thought of the whole idea all the way through. But really generating creative ideas, creating an environment for creativity and innovation, you need to be willing to work in an environment that is okay with things being a little ambiguous, with not having all of the answers right now. You know, I read an interesting example about this process in a book recently, and it was an example of Microsoft, and it talked about how a group of executives from the manufacturing and the packaging marketing group and the shipping group got together, and they spent all day working and talking about how can they reduce costs, that the costs to get the product to the consumer was just too great. And they talked about, you know, what could we do to reduce our manufacturing costs, or how could we package in a way that costs less, or is there a way to ship the discs and the programs in a way that would cost less? Well, the day went on. It was a long day. There were no ideas that really stood out that were sure-fired winners here. The head of the department, you know, left the meeting feeling a little frustrated, had to get in a plane to go someplace. And, you know, I envy people that get in a plane to go someplace, because that may be the only time they get to get away from their normal environment and kind of break out of the mold and have some free time to be creative. So this executive is sitting there and he's sort of bubble diagramming what was talked about during the day. And he's got the diagram and he draws circles at the top, manufacturing and shipping and packaging. And then he starts to draw some circles down at the bottom about their key customers and what the customers may want. And he sits and looks at this diagram, and for whatever reason, he turns the diagram around so that it's now upside down. And instead of focusing on Microsoft's problem, how do we reduce manufacturing, shipping, or packaging costs, he looks at what's now at the top of the page and says, what do the clients want? They're not even thinking about, they're not thinking about our manufacturing costs. They're not thinking about our packaging costs. They're not thinking about our shipping costs. What do the clients want? Well, the clients would like to buy everything cheaper. They'd like to get it quicker. They want instant gratification. Well, guess what? Out of this thinking comes the idea to deliver products in a digital manner. Now, in today's environment, most of us don't even own a CD with a program on it. In fact, I'm sitting here looking at my computer that I just spent a fortune on, and it doesn't even have a way to play a CD. You had to buy that as an extra tool. I didn't buy it because I can't remember the last time I used a CD. Every time I upgrade a program or buy a new program, I just download it off the internet. What do I need with a packaged piece of material, another floppy disk. So that was a great example of thinking differently, of turning the problem upside down. And that's what your coaching can do with your clients. Your coaching is to get them to look at a different perspective, turn it upside down, look at it from somebody else's viewpoint, change their perspective on this issue. A great book to help you come up with some ways to do this is called Look at More by Andy Stefanovich. Now, Andy talks about the five M's that are needed to get creative. His five M's are mood, mindset, mechanisms, measurement, and momentum. Guess what? I'm not going to define those for you. Get the book, put his ideas to work right now. The book is full of great questions to ask in all kinds of environment. How to create the mood, how to get people's mindset away from the day-to-day, how to create measurements. I'm not going to get into it. It's some great ways to look at it. You know, I talked about the fact that all of a sudden, as I'm thinking about creativity and innovation, everything seems to leap out at me. I ran into another book by Eric Wall. It looked kind of interesting, and I thought, well, maybe I'll do a little research on the artist, on the author first. And it turns out Eric Wall was an artist. In fact, he's a graffiti artist. You want to go to YouTube and look up Eric Wall, E-R-I-K-W-H-L. He's famous for his keynote presentations, let's call it a 60-minute presentation, where he does three-minute paintings. He stands there with a blank canvas, talks about a topic, and in 3 minutes has done a fantastic piece of artwork that illustrates the point that he's trying to make. And he catches you off guard with the artwork. You're looking at the artwork, you know what point he's trying to make, and you are looking at a blob that makes no sense whatsoever at all. And then he takes the canvas and he flips it upside down, and now all of a sudden it makes total sense. He has drawn the item, whatever it is, and the one that sticks in my mind is he was talking about creative people. He was talking about Steve Jobs, and he's drawing this blob on the canvas, and then he turns the canvas upside down, and it is a fantastic portrait of Steve Jobs that we would all recognize instantly. So he talks about doing this, you know, in his book on the same sort of topics called Unthink, he talks about creativity, you know, and he gives a lot of really good tips that I think coaches could use to help be more focused or get their clients to be more focused on being more creative. Now, let me just qualify this whole conversation. I need to get more creative and innovative. All coaches need to get more creative and innovative, and all of our clients could benefit from getting more creative and innovative. So let's not get hung up when I say we do this for the client or we do this for you or we do it for me. We can all benefit from this kind of thing. One of the things that Wall talks about is he talks about who you can still be is the title of one of his sections in his book. I would kind of relabel it as to the keys on how you want a coach to create creativity. He lists some things. Be provocative. You know, what is provocative? It's asking questions that almost offend people, that make them stop and think. You know, we've had on our show earlier this year, Michael Stratford. Michael Stratford describes himself as a provocateur. I thought, what in the world is a provocateur? Well, if you've known Michael for very long, you know exactly what a provocateur is. There is no idea that is hands off to him. There is nothing sacred that he won't ask about, question, or want to talk about. That's what you want your coaching to do. Let's not be safe. Let's be the provocateur. Give them provocative questions. Get them thinking in provocative ways about their issues. Be intuitive. Coaches are great. You know, what is intuitive? Intuitive is taking the knowledge that we don't know that we have, that we've picked up and accumulated along the way, and suddenly listening to it and giving it some credibility. Be convicted. Have something that you find out what your, or find out what your clients really stand for. Nobody does very well at a task. Nobody works well in an environment that they don't like. So what are you convicted about? What is it that you're passionate about? Be accelerated. You know, move fast. Be spontaneous. Be surrendered and be original. Those are all terms that we could spend all afternoon talking about, but we could not talk about them as well as Wall talks about them in his book, Unthink. So, you know, when I post our show from today on our website and our Podbean site, I'm going to give you some references to the books that I've talked about, because they're truly worth looking at. They're not coaching books, but I think they've got information that really speaks to how to coach. So, to wrap up this conversation for today, what's the key point that I'm hoping that you walk away with here? Get creative and innovative with how you coach. Focus your coaching on helping your clients to get more creative and innovative. The solutions will come as a result of the effort, but they will be mind-blowing new ideas and not minor tweaks of what we've always done. That's what we're looking for in our coaching. We're looking for the breakthrough. As coaches, we are really good at creating a safe environment for our clients to talk about anything. What a shame if we create this safe environment for them to just talk about the same old, same old, same old. You know, we've all seen that commercial about the people going out to lunch. The same old, same old. What we want to do is not only create a safe environment, we want to create an exciting environment, an environment that is going to enhance creativity, an environment that is out of the ordinary. You know, that is where people feel confident and flexible and energized to come up with new and different ideas, where we are encouraging them to be risk takers, to experiment, to learn by doing. And all around this dialogue is the idea that it is fun and it is human and it creates a buzz of possibilities for the client, the coach, and the company. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation today. I certainly enjoyed doing some of this research on it. It was a topic that selected me to talk about it today. Everything I picked up and read and looked at said you've got to talk about creativity. I'm getting ready to work with a number of my clients on their annual strategic planning, and it has really changed my thinking about how we want to approach that. You know, I hope it does the same for you. Well, let me just say, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you may have been visiting our archive site where we store all of our past radio shows. That's dgefeller, D-G-F-E-L-L-E-R, .podbeam.com. Or the easiest way is go to the coachingperspective.com website, look at the radio page. At the bottom of the radio page, there's a link. Click on it. It will take you right to the Podbeam site. Well, and while you're there, not only can you listen to this show, but we've got hundreds of shows from prior years with some great guests and some great information that I'm sure is information that you're looking for now that could help you immediately. So this is Doug Gefeller. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve more creative, more innovative goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. the coaching perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.